Good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink, who will be with us
shortly.
Presently.
Momentarily.
Dallas Marathon's going on. Traffic's supposed to be a mess today. No guests today. We're just going to catch up on some of the news that we haven't talked about in a while. Marriage equality. Looks like Mississippi is going to have same-sex marriage before Texas.
Okay, no.
They're tied. But that was what we had predicted.
But the Texas arguments, well, for the Texas case, arguments are really soon, like January 9th. In the Fifth Circuit.
That's going to be the Texas case, the Louisiana case, and the Mississippi case.
Yes, you know, interestingly enough, I think there was a motion filed to consolidate those cases, and the Fifth Circuit said no.
They're three separate cases,
so they're
three separate states, three different state laws. They need to be separate, but they're hearing all three cases together on the same day. Now, Texas, the plaintiffs had applied to lift the stay.
Yes.
Because the thinking is, okay, when he stayed that ruling earlier in the year, the judge, none of these other states had become marriage equality states yet. All of these states, you know, several of them, like Arkansas, they allowed some people to get married for about a week, and then it got stayed. And Michigan, same thing. And Texas never did that. He just stayed the ruling right away. But since all of these other states have become marriage equality states, and it looked like the Supreme Court is not going to take any of these cases where it's a clear where it's clearly discrimination, where it's you know, against due process, and they applied to the judge and asked him, lift your stay, because the reason for a stay is if the Supreme Court's going to hear your case. Well, the Supreme Court would have no more reason to hear this case than they would the Oklahoma case or the Utah case, which they rejected. And our law was very similar to Oklahoma's, so no reason not to.
We were ready
to get married. Anyway, so this is going to drag on now into next year. January, the Fifth Circuit will hear the case, the three cases from the three states in the Fifth Circuit, and we'll see.
And the judge, I kind of have to agree with him for not lifting the stay.
Because
if you read what he said, it's kind of true. So, you know, if I lift it, marriages begin, and then now all I can do, it would just be temporary, long story short, because they could turn right around and say,
and
no.
go to the Fifth Circuit and ask them to say it, and they will.
Right. So it's just like, you know, just have some finality to this.
Okay, so a number of other marriage equality stories for this week. This one I love. The side that was victorious in the South Carolina case. Now, you remember in the Fourth Circuit, the Virginia case controls the whole Fourth Circuit. So the Virginia case that Virginia lost, meaning Virginia has marriage equality, affects West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. West Virginia jumped in pretty quickly with marriage equality because that's the progressive state of these four. Right?
You know. Well, in this case, yes.
In this case, yes. North Carolina dragged its feet for about a week. Finally, they agreed to it. South Carolina was kicking and screaming. Had to go to court.
North Carolina is now their state. The head of their state legislatures wants to kick it up to the Supreme Court, too, because they didn't hear the North Carolina case.
Right, because that one's so different, because people get married differently in North Carolina. Anyway, in South Carolina, they lost. So the attorneys who won the case are suing the state, or they filed – they're not really suing. They filed a petition in federal court seeking $152,000 from the state in legal fees.
I think that's pretty cool.
And it looks like they're going to get it, and the attorney said, well, we're not going to keep it. We're going to give it to, Lambda Legal and a couple of other gay organizations, which makes it so nice because there's public money that – these attorney generals are squandering.
Yeah.
You know, but Lambda Legal has, and other groups like NCLR and other, and GLAD in the Northeast, they undergird most of these cases. They do a lot of the legwork. They do a lot of the real work of getting these cases lined up.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they don't deserve the money. I'm just saying it's ironic that what the attorney general was doing, he was saying, well, yeah, those 35 states, their laws, yeah, but we're South Carolina. We don't have to do this. The courts are saying, yes, you do. It's the same thing. It's the same discrimination in South Carolina that it is in North Carolina. And now they're going to have to pay $150,000 in addition to all the money that they squandered taking this to court. Okay, now, we're destroying marriage, right?
Big time.
Okay, so a new study by the Williams Institute found that gay and lesbian couples who marry are half as likely to divorce as straight couples. Now, you can say, well, there really hasn't been same-sex marriage around for that long. But what they used in their study are things like California, which has had domestic partnerships for 10 years, 9 years, something like that. New Jersey, which has had civil unions for 10 years. California's 13 years of data that they have. So normally when people divorce, the bulk of people divorce within the first
It's within the first 15 years. It's more likely within the first, like, 3 or 4.
Well,
it's really
so
quick.
It's not like they're not studying divorce rates in Oklahoma. What they're studying are divorce rates in states that have had some form of marriage recognition. They're finding that of all of the same-sex marriages in a state, in California, 1.1% of those same-sex marriages dissolved on average each year. And of straight marriages, 2% of them dissolved each year.
So this study was limited to just America?
It was just in the United States. Okay. And it was more than just those two states, but those were the two with the longest history. But they did Massachusetts and several other states, Vermont, New Hampshire.
I'd be curious to see had they extended this to the other nations that have had same-sex marriage or some type of legal recognition of same-sex for longer than 10 years.
The study I remember was in Denmark, which was the first country that had relationship recognition. Mm-hmm. This was a number of years ago they did this. And while the divorce rate among heterosexuals there was about 50% or more, among gay people it was 17%. So less than half in some other countries. Lots of reasons for this, obviously. There's not the pressure to get married. Mm-hmm. You get married because you're a good, settled couple. You know you're going to stay together.
It's something you really want to do.
Yeah.
Because, again, there's no one's pressuring you to do it.
Right.
Yeah, my dad really pressured me to marry Danny.
Right. we know that. Uh-huh. So,
I mean, it's something you really want to do. So more than likely, you're going
to
stay around.
And a lot of people, you had to travel to do it. You had to, it was expensive. It wasn't the same thing. And then you come back and you don't get all the benefits. Right.
And kind of an interesting observation this week, too, was that in states where they've had marriage equality for a very long time, like states in the Northeast, Vermont, New Hampshire, certainly Massachusetts, California, there was kind of a lull. There was this big rush, of course, when it first passed many, many years ago, and lots of people, lots of couples were getting married, and then it kind of leveled off. And what they found is that with it kind of resurging in all these other states as a result of Windsor and post-Windsor and all of that, the states that had been traditional, albeit 10 years or so, same-sex wedding states, marriage equality states, they've had a surge in marriages too because it's like it reminds people there that they can get married. And I think that's kind of cool too.
Okay, so Iowa was one of the original marriage equality states. I think it was state number 5.
Somewhere around there. Yeah. Definitely in the first 10.
I think it was like around 5. Mm-hmm. A couple got married in Iowa. This year they moved to Texas. Welcome to Texas. You know what you need to get your driver's license in Texas? You need your birth certificate, and if you're married, you need a marriage license. So this couple went to the driver's license bureau, and Texas refused to give them a driver's license.
That's been happening all over the state.
Because they're married.
Yep, that's been happening in Houston and Austin. There've
Do you know what I like about this story, though? Yeah, well, Anise Parker's daughters – uh-huh. couldn't get their driver's license because they had two moms on their birth certificate.
No, sorry. Wow, this is crazy. I hadn't heard the details of the story. What is the reason that they're giving? Because they don't want to recognize that they have a hyphenated last name or something?
Yes. Okay. They're giving them the choice. They gave them the choice, and this is a clerk at the Driver's License Bureau, gave them the choice. They can get divorced, or they can go to a court and get a legal name change. Because normally if you get married, your name change is your marriage license.
Right.
You don't have to do anything else. If you want to change your name,
it's right there to do
that's
it.
It's right there to
it's
do
like
it.
You check a box to say, I'm also changing my name at that time. And a lot of people do that if they intend to do it anyway, because it's one fell swoop. Otherwise, if you wait, you have to go back to court, probably to a family court judge, get a name change, as if it was out of the blue and you weren't married. You're just changing your name.
Right.
But you can do it as part of the marriage thing. That's part of the rights that come with marriage. As either party can change their name.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting about this, you know, Texas, you know, most of the judges here, like with the divorce cases, don't want to grant the divorces because they say that would recognize the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by doing things like this, like giving a driver's license, you're still recognizing the marriage.
But they're not.
Well, no, they're recognizing it because they're saying, oh, well, you see you got your name changed. Otherwise, they could just look at the name and go on.
Oh, right.
You see what I'm saying? And no matter how you're looking
at
it.
This is the name I'm using.
Exactly. No matter how you twist it, you're recognizing
the
marriage.
But the thing is, if you have a different name than the name that's on your birth certificate, you have to show the paper that changed the name. So here's what this couple is doing in Austin that's from Iowa. They're applying for their federal passports, and the state has to recognize the passport.
There you go.
So that's what they're doing. What's interesting about this is, do you know where I found this story? It wasn't in the Austin paper. It wasn't in any Texas paper. It was in the Des Moines Register. And they are annoyed.
Oh, sure.
Our marriages that we're performing here are not being recognized in other states.
It's offensive.
It is offensive. And I think some of these states need to start threatening. We're not going to recognize Texas marriages. You know, sorry, if you move to Iowa and you are married in Texas, if you want to use your husband's last name, you're going to have to do a formal name change through a court because we just don't recognize that marriage. You want to file a joint income tax? Sorry, that's a Texas marriage. We don't recognize that one. And just give them the same trouble. It's the same silly nonsense.
What's the difference?
What name is on your driver's license? As long as it's the name that you use.
And I this kind of so messed up and interesting to me because I've never worked for a DPS, so I don't know what their training is. But I would think if you got a document, you see that's a birth certificate, I would look at the name and just go on. They must be really studying to see, okay, this person, party A.
They were warned and told what to say.
Gotcha. Okay.
Obviously.
To see that they're married to somebody of the same gender.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that couple in Houston that moved here from California, they have a child, they've been married for a long time, they've both had name changes. Take your California license to the DMV in Texas. And there should be some reciprocity there.
Right.
Valid license in California. Give me a valid license.
You know, when I got my Texas driver's license, this is 12, 13 decades ago. But when I got my driver's license, I don't remember.
Did they have cars then?
It was a buggy. It was a buggy.
Buggies, okay.
But I don't remember bringing anything other than my driver's license.
Well, I've never had a Texas driver's license other than Texas. I live in D.C. for a year, but I never got my license change. But I've had to update my license, and I just took my old license in. I don't recall having it taken my birth certificate.
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember doing that either. I had moved here from Georgia, and I brought my Georgia driver's license. Here it is.
Exactly.
Take the written test. You take the written test. Here's your new license. I don't remember going through that kind of
nonsense. I don't either.
So here's your Iowa driver's license. What's the problem? That's the name on the license.
Right, exactly.
The defrauding would be if you changed the name from what was on your last license when you moved from one state to another.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's ridiculous. Mississippi. this is what we, why we always say here in Texas, thank God for Mississippi. Okay, so a Mississippi pastor, after the Mississippi marriage law was overturned, a Mississippi pastor brought a horse in a wedding dress to stand with him outside a federal courthouse on Friday in Jackson to protest the judge's ruling. Because I guess he wants to marry a horse, and that's what he thinks same-sex marriage is. It's marrying your horse.
Say yes to the dress.
Now, here's the thing with him. They keep saying, we want to change marriage to, oh, I can marry my toaster, I can marry my horse.
Right.
Or as
this guy's straight, and that needs to be on record. It's the straight guy that tried to marry the horse.
Yeah.
So you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Do we have some entertainment news?
We do. We do. ABC has handed out a new straight-to-pickup series, which doesn't happen that often. Most people don't realize how shows actually get on the air and go through kind of a test period. But this is going straight to pickup. And it's a series called a new show called My Transparent Life, produced by none other than Ryan Seacrest. Now, the series is going to it's about a teenager transitioning from male to female, from Charlie to Carly. And here's a quote from Ryan Seacrest. He says, "We love family stories, and we couldn't be more excited that ABC Family is helping us share this heartwarming story of how ordinary teenager grapples with challenging and unexpected family situation." So I'm excited. I'm excited for this. ABC really goes out of their way as far as being on our team. So good for them. And Michael Sam, not only has he been chosen as Dallas Voice's Person of the Year, he was chosen as GQ's Person of the Year. I think both of those are great choices. And during his, or shortly after he was drafted, there was a documentary in the works, but that was going to air, but they pulled back and said, let's just wait. So now that, unfortunately, he's teamless, that documentary will air on OWN, it's Oprah Winfrey's network, on December the 27th, followed by an hour-long interview with Oprah.
Because what says Christmas better than the gay football player?
Exactly.
With Oprah.
With Oprah.
So I'm very much looking forward to this because, just like everybody else, I have yet to see an in-depth interview with him of any kind.
He hasn't done any.
He hasn't done any, exactly. Now, he's done little snippets here and there.
Very little.
Very little. And they're mainly on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. I have no problem with that. He's a football player.
See, I would have thought he owes Dale Hansen, I think. And I would have expected Dale Hansen to have done an interview with him. Not in-depth.
Right.
You know, it's the sports segment on the news. A minute.
Yeah.
But they were together at the
they were.
The Resource Center event.
Oh, yeah.
They obviously have talked.
I'm talking about on air,
yeah.
For everybody to see. You know, a way for Michael Sam to say to him, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Dale has been a huge ally. And, you know, just a nice little, I'm not talking about in-depth, just a nice little friendly 2-minute banter.
Well,
and it surprised me that he asked.
Well, let's see what he asked. Maybe he'll address that when he talks to Oprah.
Yeah.
So.
And Patty, you have the SAG Awards and the Golden Globes.
Yeah, the nominees came out this week. Both are going to be aired in January. I believe one is January 11th. The Golden Globes are January 11th, and then the SAG Awards are the 25th. We have a few. I just have to mention, she's not really gay, but I'll mention her. She's played gay roles. Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, is in for another SAG. Several actors who were part of The Normal Heart.
Mark Ruffalo, I'm assuming, is one of them?
Oh, yes. And Julia Roberts.
Cool.
They've both been nominated. And a big ally of our community is Steve Buscemi. He's been nominated for Boardwalk mm-hmm. Empire. Eric Stone Street for Modern Family portrays a gay man. He's been nominated yet again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he's won a couple of times, too.
Oh, absolutely. And Uzo Aduba has been nominated for Orange is the New Black. Mm. So that's pretty cool. And Orange is the New Black has been nominated for ensemble.
Very good
ensemble
show.
Acting.
I finally got through season one.
Did you?
Yes. I'm starting season two. I love it.
Pretty good.
It is pretty good.
It's addictive. Telling you. And then we have several more in the Golden Globes. I don't have them marked, but I'm excited because Viola Davis is one of my favorite actors, and she's been nominated for How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah.
Which, have you seen it?
Haven't seen it, but I heard it's really good.
It's really, really awesome, I think. Anyway, so we've got quite a few going on there. Alan Cumming's been nominated for The Good Wife. Big surprise there. So, looking good. And I'm really impressed that there's a, of course, Matthew McConaughey from Dallas Buyers Club and many other things has been nominated again for True Detective. So,
oh, yeah.
And I say nominated again in his own right. And then Jeffrey Tambor's been nominated for Transparent, which is a series that's been sort of, you know, like Netflix or whatever, but it's on Amazon Prime. And it's about his experience as a transgender woman, which is, I think is very well done. At least the trailers that I've seen, I've not been able to watch it yet. Don't have 8 hours to binge.
Right. Nor do most of us.
But also Mark Ruffalo's been nominated for a Golden Globe for The Normal Heart as well. So that's exciting. And for anyone who was listening to our Leslie show, Jessica Lange from American Horror Story has been nominated, along with Dallas's own Kathy Bates.
Oh,
so
love her.
Both for Coven.
And Leslie's going to be back here in town doing another fundraiser for Legacy Counseling Center. Is it this week or is it next?
I think it's next week.
Yep. So is Angela Bassett nominated, I wonder?
For
American Horror Story.
No, there were only those two.
Because I haven't seen the show, but one of my friends is addicted to it, and he just informed me that her character is actually trans.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, I didn't know that.
Well, in this current season.
Yeah.
So she may be nominated next year.
Oh, okay.
Because it's still in process.
Okay.
It's still being shown.
Okay.
We just watched it last night.
Cool. Okay, so this week on Monday, Plano passed a non-discrimination ordinance.
Yay,
and
Plano!
The reaction has been everything from, huh, Plano? to, that's a really bad ordinance.
Yeah.
It's run the full range. Here's the problem with the ordinance. It starts off with a real strong anti-discrimination statement, and well-worded.
And really inclusive.
And very inclusive.
That initial statement.
And then there are the exceptions. It's not just a religious exception, but there is an exception for nonprofit organizations,
educational institutions,
government, not Plano itself, but everybody else doing business with Plano. It gives an exception to everything except business, basically. What's your take on this? And then there's, it includes
trans.
It includes gender identity, but what it doesn't include very well is backing that up. There are exceptions and exceptions and exceptions.
And I think it's most disturbing. It was hard to listen to some of the comments in the chamber, and I'm speaking to the LGBT people. Mm-hmm. Who were speaking. It was very difficult to listen to them.
Really, what were they saying?
Really support this without acknowledging how flawed it is in terms of it almost gives a license to discriminate.
Especially against the trans community.
Where there had been none against the trans community. So it was hard to hear them all cheering this on without also balancing that with the fact that this is not, you know, not a good one.
Could it be that they were just so excited that Plano's getting something?
Oh, I think it's a calculation you have to make.
And it's like, you know, it's a start.
Oh, I think it's a calculation you definitely have to make. Because if you, and we all know in working with like municipalities that, you know, you have to praise good moves. And it's, especially if there have been none. And so I don't fault them with that. It was just difficult to hear. Mm-hmm. I don't fault them with that strategy at all.
Now,
especially in light of the other people in the chamber who were vile.
Oh, they were vile. There's no question.
Vile.
And here's the win. Their mayor, His name is
La Rosselière, I believe.
Yes.
Harry.
He is the hero of this.
Yeah.
Because he stood up to them and told them that if they didn't sit down and shut up, he was going to have them removed from the chamber. I mean, he let them have their say. It's mm-hmm. just after you have your say in the public session,
you go sit down and shut up.
You go sit down and shut up. I mean, that's how it works. We have the Rich Sheridan rule here where you can't speak more than once a month at City Hall or County Commissioner's Court because he was taking up so much time and having to be hauled out after his time was up week after week after week. That's not how it works. You get to say your say. You have 3 minutes to do it, period. And they were vile. Mm-hmm. They were just vile. You're letting men who are predators come into the women's room. What does that have to do with don't discriminate against somebody at work? You don't fire somebody because they're gay. They picked that up from the Houston argument.
Yeah.
It stuck in Houston for whatever stupid reason.
It's the Family Research Council junk.
But if there is one really wonderful thing that came out of this, Plano's mayor is a hero.
Oh, big time.
So no question.
And he says, we're passing this because it's the right thing to do, right. Period.
There was one point where one of the antis was saying, well, we don't have a problem with discrimination here, so why pass it? He said, that's the best time to make a statement about how we feel.
Well,
we don't discriminate. It's going to be in our ordinance, in our city laws.
And I think that's a really big point, too. And there were two of the three who voted against it, who was really calling – two of them wanted to just table it until January and I think give more time for both sides to build a case and really have some sort of bigger debate, I guess. But one of the things that he pointed out in saying, he goes, now I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to table this, but in my heart, I'm probably going to vote against it. And, I know I'm on the wrong side of history. He goes, because one of the things I've noticed is that of all the comments he's received in the 1,500 emails alone he got or something, and all of the comments made in the chamber, he said, there's clearly a need for this.
Wow. This war,
because of the comments were so
awful.
They were
so vile.
And so discriminatory. Mm-hmm. And with huge intent to discriminate. And so he said, clearly, I mean, regardless of how I might vote, there's a need for this because it's evident. There's the evidence.
Well, that's interesting, and I guess I halfway applaud him for admitting that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I wonder why he said he was probably end up still voting against it.
You know, there were probably a
good
number
question.
Of reasons. Probably a number of reasons. Some of them are up for re-election this year in a difficult district, in one of the more conservative districts. Several of them might have said, you know what, they don't need my vote. In talking to their city spokesperson, he said, you know, it was a 3-5 vote. He said there were three that voted against, but it wasn't like any of them were just strongly, passionately, and vilely against it like the others. They were just weighing several things, and some of them, I'd rather have that than to have vitriolic hate spewed. We have one council person from South Dallas who the others have to put up with because of the stupidity that comes out of that woman's mouth. That's not what was happening here.
I mean, I get that, but a no vote is a no vote.
A no vote is a no vote, but it's not necessarily. You're not going to have any of them amending this law and bringing up new pieces of legislation to deteriorate the law and to make it even more ineffective than it might be. That's not what went on. It was more, you don't need my vote here. I'm going to vote no. That's different, and that is different politically than you gay people are what they said.
Well, I absolutely agree, and I think the guy tempering it with, you know, acknowledging the need for it is still part of a calculus, again, on his part, because a lot of the other side was saying, we're going to make sure that all you people are run out of office.
You know,
we're going to sue the city of Plano over this.
Here's one thing that's interesting.
We're going to put it up for a referendum for a public vote.
One of them stands up and says, you know, you're passing this because gay people are bullies. gay people are bullying you into passing this legislation that we don't need. And then the next one stands up and says, if you pass this, we're going to vote against you. We're going to put up candidates against you. We're going to sue you.
Yep.
Okay, where's the bullying? Which side was doing the bullying?
Yeah.
Those gay people are bullies. No, we don't want to be fired from our jobs because of who we are. Now, why did this whole thing come about? Toyota is moving Plano. And
Where was Toyota originally?
In California.
In California. There's going to be quite a change.
And a lot of their employees are real worried.
They're coming to Texas.
They are worried not just about coming to Texas, but now their marriages are null and void, and they are not happy. So what did Plano do? They did what they could to pass an ordinance. Now, here's kind of where I'm thinking about it. Plano needs to pass an ordinance that makes Plano happy. And when I talked to several, I probably talked to half a dozen people who were actually in the chamber that day, and all of them said, but it's Plano, and we made a start, and it's a good start, and it's a good foundation, and we're going to come back, and we'll amend the law. We'll get more as it progresses, as it develops. That's what they're saying. It's their city. I understand that everybody from Dallas that I spoke to said, that's not how it works. It's easier to table a bad ordinance, bring it back 6 months later, have a stronger one.
Have it right the first time.
Rather than go on and on for years and years trying to amend all these things out.
So here's the reality, though. This is what we know. We've seen it in Fort Worth. We've seen it here, certainly here. In Dallas, the city of Dallas, there are two kind of tracks where we have non-discrimination. Actually, three, because the voters just voted to put it in the city charter, non-discrimination. But there's also non-discrimination for employees of the city, and there's non-discrimination for everybody else who's not employed by the city. The city one is Chapter 36, or 35, and the other one is Chapter 46. And we're still, this was passed May 8th, 2002, Chapter 46, where we conflated the definition of sexual orientation and gender identity. Gender identity is shoved into the definition of sexual orientation. It's wrong, but it's legally it works, but it's not clear, and it's not certainly not clear to those who need to be protected that they know they're protected. They don't see it. They have to read the whole thing and dig for it. So we want to fix that. And how many years has that been? That's been 12 years. 12 years to try to fix Chapter 46. And how long is that going to take them in Plano to fix?
Well, not only fix. Let's just see if this let's see if the ordinance even stands for how long. There is already an effort to have it repealed, and it can be repealed. Apparently, the group that botched up the Houston thing, mm-hmm. now that's in court. They the director of what's called Houston's Pastor Council. The director's name is Dave Welch. They are already in effort to try and get this overturned in Plano, and all they need is 3,800 signatures. They'll get it.
Here's another thing going on in Plano that went under the radar, completely unreported. I searched it, could not find it anywhere. In October, it didn't have to go to the council. It could be done administratively. They put in place non-discrimination for Plano City employees, and partner benefits begin in January.
Yep.
That they were able to do.
For the city of Plano?
Yep.
Wow, that did go under the radar.
Yep.
Good for them, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's – sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to do that if you've got the city on your side.
But here's where having a good mayor
– And a good city manager.
And a good city manager, yeah, where it makes a difference. When you have somebody like this guy who's their mayor, he's going to do what he can. You know – As much as with this ordinance, good things came out of it.
It's a start.
Yeah, I mean, several good things came out of it. And people in Plano who were working on it feel like this is Plano. This never would have happened a few years ago.
This is very true.
It's a huge difference.
And there is also a portion of that non-discrimination ordinance that affects contractors for the city of Plano. And contractors have to comply unless they seek a waiver. And so businesses that do business with the city of Plano could seek a waiver. And, you know, I think it might be a smart move for many, too, in our community there to start talking to businesses that do business with the city of Plano and others around the city and get some sort of sticker or, you know, thing that they can put in their windows of their businesses that say that they support non-discrimination in the city of Plano.
It's a good idea.
You know, to be able to affirmatively say that. Because I think there probably are a lot more businesses that are more they're fully supportive of this,
sure,
than are not. I think it's a squeaky wheel.
Well, look at who their major businesses are. Toyota's moving in as the impetus for this. JCPenney, Frito-Lay, they all have 100% with, or I think JCPenney is
enormous.
90%, but yeah. With HRC, of course they have allies there.
And that was one of the things that was disturbing to me, was these people got up and spoke, at, you know, just this glowing, flowery language about how much they love their LGBT friends and their kids bring home LGBT friends and they're welcome there and they eat dinner there, yada yada. But, you know, we need our religious freedom and that bucks your mm-hmm. civil rights, but we love you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, screw that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just hate that, you know?
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis, late Patty Fink. We'll be back with more right after this.
I'm Michael from UNT, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink. Fayetteville.
Well, yeah, here we are talking about Plano just passed a city ordinance that with LGBT protections to some degree. And before the show, we were talking about, David and I, the possibility that it could be repealed. And you don't think about that, but it has happened. And it has happened very recently in Fayetteville, which
this
is
week.
A small city this week. Small city. Is it smaller or bigger than Plano?
I think
it's smaller by now.
Probably
Plano's almost 300,000
yeah,
people now.
It is. And it was repealed on the heels of the support from a show called 19 and Counting. Now, if you don't know.
People from the show.
This is the couple who have.
The
Duggars, exactly. Mm-hmm. They have 19 children. And, you know, very, very traditional religious people. And from what I've seen, most of the people from this clan have been the kids, the two older kids who are adults, young adults. But I just think this is kind of horrific that it can be repealed. So,
yeah, what worries me about them is 19 kids, what
yeah.
are the odds that one or two of them are going to be gay or lesbian?
I think it's a pretty strong possibility.
Their
names start with J. 20 of them now.
And one of the daughters, she's married now. And like I told David before, I got to admit it, but he's a looker, and he seems pretty gay to me, too. So,
really?
Yes. So either one of their kids has a chance to be gay or their partners or spouses. Absolutely.
Wow.
But I just, you know, this show took a lot of heat from people from get-go just because of, oh, my God, you know, here's this family who in the year 2014 has 19 kids and pretty much has been glorified about it. But you know they don't live off of government assistance or anything. They're self-employed.
They have a TV show.
Yeah, they have a TV show.
And Lord knows they probably make probably $500,000 an episode, if not more.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know, I kind of, and yes, I have seen about a handful of episodes, not purposely. So when you flip in a channel and there's nothing else on, and you land on it by accident.
A friend watches it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've never really criticized them. I'm like, okay, whatever. I've just been indifferent about them. But now it's like, okay, now you're messing with us. I mean, you kind of suspect they were probably homophobic from get-go, though they never said anything like that on the show. But now,
only somebody who watches the show regularly would know.
Exactly. Exactly.
A handful of times.
Uh-huh.
But now you're messing with us. It's a different ball game. There's a huge petition to have the show taken off the air. But so far it hasn't gone anywhere, which really surprises me because they took Duck Dynasty off over something I thought which much more not as big a deal. I think what they're doing to actually have a real lives people affected is much more heinous than the comment the guy made on Duck Dynasty. And their show was taken
Duck Dynasty, he made a comment. They're lobbying.
They lobbied to have this law repealed, and they
spent money on advertising, billboards, things like that. Yeah.
$80,000, by the way, Fayetteville.
Okay. So it's like half, a third the size of Plano.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
This week, Black Tie Dinner distributed its funds. $1 million went out to gay and lesbian organizations, $500,000 up to HRC, one of the largest donations they get every year. The amount had dropped down below $1 million, and so everybody was glad to see that it was back up to $1 million this year.
Good.
Remember Molly Olgan, the 19-year-old who was murdered in a park in Portland, Texas, right down on the coast. Her murderer was caught. He's on alleged. He's on trial right now. Trial hasn't started yet, but there were motions in court this week. They might ask for a change of venue because it's such a, it was such a notorious case. Have the one thing he is not being charged with hate crime.
Yeah, I was going to say, have they determined that
they said there's really just no evidence for it?
Okay.
It's real possible that, that's why he did this to them, but you have to have some evidence.
Right.
You can't just say, well, yeah, of course he did. There has to be evidence, and there is no evidence of hate crime.
Right.
And the evidence has to be some specific things.
And the evidence would only enhance the penalty, not the charge.
Yeah, and he's being charged with capital murder. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to enhance.
Right.
Right.
So and one of the things, though, is in the investigation, the police never stopped looking at that as a possible motive. And that's really where it counts more than anything, because it helps you open up your eyes to who might have committed these crimes. So... but that trial, the next court date is in February.
And you know what I think is really interesting, too? It's just a kind of a thought I have every time one of these cases comes up in Texas, is that Texas is clearly a homophobic state from a state government perspective.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's about to probably try to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hostile state. And yet when they say, well, could it be a hate crime? Well, if this was a state that where people, we had all equal rights and we were treated equally under the law throughout the state in every aspect of our lives, you could get away with saying, well, that was probably not going to be a hate crime. Mm-hmm. But in Texas, when they go, well, could it be a hate crime? I'm like, I would think you would go there first.
Yeah.
And maybe think that it is a hate crime before you would even consider mm-hmm. not asking that question.
Yeah,
I agree.
Simply because it's like, and it's not just Texas, it's every state that does that. It just irritates me. Mm-hmm. Oh, could it be? Well, yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lesbian couple attacked and they were raped and shot.
In Texas, that doesn't have any protection for gay people.
Does this surprise you? Mike Rawlings decided he is going to run for re-election.
I'm not surprised in the least.
Okay. Me either.
I am a little bit.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm not really at all.
Yeah. Maybe not because he didn't find anything else to run for.
Well, I don't
coming
know what his
soon.
Political ambitions are. But, I think he's got obviously a good chance of getting reelected.
Mm-hmm.
I think an albatross around his neck may be if he ties himself now to the whole educational thing was a debacle. That home rule kind of stuff mm-hmm. kind of blew up in his face. But I think the Trinity toll road, if he ties himself in favor of that, I think that could defeat him. That's the one thing the city will.
He has to have somebody running against him, though.
He has a opponent.
Nobody.
Announced.
Yeah, nobody's strong, though. I mean, anything can happen. We have 6 months. So.
Oh, sure.
But it's not like a big name that everybody.
And I believe Richard Sheridan is going to run.
Richard Sheridan has said he is running too,
Mm-hmm. So, so he's going to have a run for his money, I guess, with all those opponents.
Mm-hmm.
PFOX mm-hmm. has put their foot in their mouth and embarrassed themselves.
Okay, what's PFOX?
PFOX is, I guess, a take on PFLAG, which mm-hmm. is Parents of Gays, Lesbians. This is Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays mm-hmm. and Gays. Like, okay, really? I didn't even know that. PFOX existed. But anyway, they put up a billboard in Richmond, Virginia, and it says, nobody is born gay, and it has two pictures, a picture opposing each other of supposedly twins. One is gay, one is not, which we know does happen. Now, the kicker is the model that they use, which is part of some stock footage that they found, stock photos. The actual model in the photo saw it. He's from South Africa. And he says, well, not only did I not give them permission to use my image, I am gay. And he doesn't have a twin.
Busted.
Totally busted.
Do you know what that study is, though? They studied twins, identical twins. And since they come from the same egg that has split, everything about them should be the same. In most cases, identical twins are either both gay or both straight. But in some cases, they're not.
I find that interesting.
I mean, what it seems to say is it's probably a combination.
Right. Mm-hmm. That does lend itself to that argument that some of it is environmental.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, we should embrace it.
Right. It's just that study is always used to show that being gay is genetic because the overwhelming majority of the twins are both either gay or straight.
Yep.
They're using it because some of them were not. That proves to them that you're not born that way.
Very interesting piece in the New York Times yesterday that I thought was really telling, especially for those of us who are activists in political campaigns and such. The University of California at Los Angeles, and I don't know whether it's the Williams Institute, it wasn't specified in the article, but the Williams Institute for many at UCLA is dedicated to LGBT studies and such. But this was an academic study that was done and structured like a drug test, like you would do to test therapies out in among patients, mm-hmm. where you give a treatment and a placebo. Mm-hmm. And so what they did was this arose out of the Prop 8 referendum back in 2008. So what they did was they structured this so that the treatment in this case was a knock on the door and a scripted conversation initiated by either an openly gay canvasser or a straight one. And the placebo was either to talk about recycling or no canvassing at all. And they said, instead of robotically delivering the message, we coached canvassers to be respectful, to listen, to ask questions, to dig deeper, and not to judge voters. But they talked about marriage equality. And what they found of doing this with almost 1,000 participants in the study, these were the results. Voters canvassed on marriage shifted by about 20% in favor of same-sex equality, as measured by a 5-point scale of support. Both straight and gay canvassers shifted opinions, but only the opinions of voters canvassed by gays, openly gay canvassers, remained as favorable on surveys 9 months after the initial contact. Voters canvassed on recycling did not budge on marriage equality. So what they're saying basically is that when an openly gay person knocks on your door and talks to you about marriage equality, it can shift opinions and it can stick because they followed up in 9 months later and they still maintain the same opinion they did after.
Why do you think that is?
I think because they realized that we're real people because they spoke to one. Mm-hmm. And they heard a personal story and about...
Well, not only that.
It's personal.
It's authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Not that a straight person can be genuine.
Can't be genuinely in favor.
Exactly.
But as much as anybody else.
Right. And it's just going to come from a different place when it's someone who actually is.
Yeah, and this is my life, and this is how it affects me. And I want to share that with you, and, you know, how do you feel about marriage equality? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that the study found was that once a person had been exposed to an openly gay canvasser and had their mind changed about it, other people in the household also changed their minds. And other voters in the same household. And what they found was that it almost has a contagious effect because they talk about it. They probably sit down to dinner or some other occasion in the house and they say, hey, this woman came by today and we had this conversation and this is how I feel about it. How do you feel about it? And that's what they probably happened because the results of the study were that they also changed households. you know, entire households.
Right.
I think that's fascinating.
It is.
I think it's really a good information for our community that the more we come out, we used to say the most powerful thing you can do as an LGBT person is to come out to someone you know.
Right. We've been saying that for years, and here's the proof.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the more you come out and you talk about the issues important to you, it changes the way people think.
Absolutely.
Okay, I have a silly story.
Okay.
To end with. Guillaume Gallienne was different from his three athletic brothers. He liked to dance and dress up as a woman growing up. His mother treated him like a girl and told him he was gay. The only thing is, he turned out to be straight.
Oh, my.
I think this is a fascinating story because is it good that there was this accepting mother? She accepted him that he wanted to go to dance class and not to play sports, that he wanted to dress up like a girl sometimes when he was little. This, you know, when they say growing up, you know, when he was 5, 6, 7 years old. Did she stop him? No, she accepted him. But to her, that meant he was gay.
So she decided for him.
So she kind of decided for him. I think that's almost as bad. This kid, he was going through problems. It's a long story, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. He was going through kind of problems as he was growing up because his mother told him he's gay. He's accepting himself as gay, but he's just not attracted to other boys. This is a good lesson in it's okay to be accepting, but you can push it too far.
Well, I think the bigger moral of the story is just let kids be who they're going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's
it's okay for a little straight boy to want to dance and...
Right. And I guess the other point is not to make assumptions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a big stereotype in...
It is.
Assuming.
You know, in the ballet,
right.
The stereotype is, oh, all the men are gay.
Right.
Actually, most of them
Actually,
aren't.
Most of them are not. No.
Baryshnikov.
Exactly.
Good example. Most of them are not. So just because they're a dancer...
No,
you know,
I think that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make assumptions and try to push a kid into some mold to be straight.
Mm-hmm.
Is just as bad as pushing them into a mold to be gay.
Yeah,
we just have a minute left. There was an Arizona pastor about 2 weeks ago from Faithful Word Baptist Church. His name is Stephen Anderson, and he said he celebrated World AIDS Day by saying that the way to end the AIDS epidemic is to kill every gay person, because only gay people get AIDS.
Right.
Nobody else gets it. Okay, so this idiot has been busy ordaining pastors and sending them out. Fort Worth was the recipient of one of them, and the pastor in Fort Worth, his name is Donnie Romero. He released a video of his sermon at his church service this week. Now, it's just him standing against a blank wall in his living room because his church doesn't really exist. When we tracked it down, it was just a house where he lives with his wife and 5 kids. And he's preaching gay people need to be killed. And this was going around on Facebook, and a number of people on Facebook, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call the police. So I did. I sent them a copy of the video, and they said, thank you. We're going to follow this guy. That's a terroristic threat. You know, you can shoot your mouth off. Yes, we have freedom of religion. Yes, we have freedom of speech. But then sometimes the police want to just follow you a little bit just to make sure the nonsense that you're spewing, the hatred.
You know, he's telling his flocks, however big or little they may be,
it's his family.
that we need to be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a terroristic threat.
It's a terroristic threat. Well, that's... brings us to the end of another Lambda Weekly here on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet with Laurent Landis, the late Patty Fink, and we'll be back next week with more.